Good morning. The time is 8:07. It looks like it's starting to brighten up a little bit outside after a bit of a drencher for a number of hours here in central Wisconsin at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. The time is, again, 8:07. Currently overcast skies, some light rain, and a temperature of 58 degrees. It is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us by going to Facebook.com and X.com and following along on our video stream, and you can also comment on our stream, and you can also call or text at 715-382-9297. Love to have your voice be heard here on the program at 715-382-9297. That is either a call or a text, either way. And of course, later in the program, we are going to have another chance for you to win with our Scani Summer Text-to-Win Contest. A chance to win a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack for the hour of the 9 o'clock hour, plus Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats, a daily winner, and our grand prize, a unique summer staycation getaway to different really, really cool sites in the state of Wisconsin. We'll have more on that coming up a little bit later on. Coming up on today's program, we'll talk about the weather with Brittany Merlot at 8:20. Coming up at 9:10, Sean Wright, the executive director of the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater, will be joining us this week. The Grand announced its 2024-2025 schedule, so we'll talk to Sean Wright about that. And then coming up at 9:35 this morning, we'll be joined by Christine Daniels, the executive director of the Good News Project as well. But for the first hour of the program, very happy to welcome back, as we do each and every other Wednesday, Bob Look. Bob, good morning.
Good morning. I got my Evan root out, hooked it up to the bass boat, and here I am out here.
I know.
I had to tie the boat onto the tree, but we're okay.
And also need to say good morning to Ian Welsh, our in-studio engineer and producer. Ian, good morning.
Good morning.
Absolutely. We'll get more from you in just a little bit, but we got Bob here today. Yeah, you're pointing at Ian, Bob.
Yeah, Ian, congratulations on a great job on that that production last weekend.
Thank you, Bob.
I heard nothing but great things about it.
Oh, yeah. First weekend of shows is over, and tomorrow, yeah, you started all over again.
Yeah, I was going to say, you took a week, you got it all, so squeaky clean and perfect now. People should just expect this is like about a half a step away from Broadway, right?
I would say so.
There's no ego problem there, huh?
Well, that's just me. I mean,
own it, Ian.
I mean, the whole cast and crew itself is definitely close to Broadway level, I must say.
No, those are one of those assets that a community loves to, you know, take it for granted. But then you realize not every community has that kind of slickness and professionalism. So good on you, and good all to everyone putting that work in.
Thank you, Bob.
Plenty to talk about, Bob. We're now into the month of June. It's 2024. It's an election year. So much going on.
Scary month.
What was that?
It's dairy month.
Oh, it is dairy month.
June is dairy month.
Hey, that's the positive aspect, June dairy month. But I thought we'd start yesterday with Josh Call. And there have been a lot of folks saying, Josh Call, what are you waiting for? Josh Call, do something. Josh Call, make the folks that were part of the fake elector scheme be held accountable. And finally, a couple of lawyers and another person were charged yesterday. Ron Johnson got very upset about it, which was, I thought, a positive. But the thing about it, again, and it goes with the Trump thing we'll talk about later as well, it's just that it sure does. I'm going to take a big picture look at it. It just feels like that the folks that have the political and economic power in this country, boy, they get treated where you got to be very careful before you actually charge them. Well, the average person, they would have been charged 2 years ago. But that's just my thoughts.
Well, back when you took a few days off, I had contacted the Attorney General's office, wanted to get Attorney General Call on for a little chat. And he says, well, you know, what would you like to, you know, talk about? Well, I kind of said, well, you know, just kind of wanted to get an update if there is something. And I know you can't really talk about it, but you know, kind of just give some indication that keeping your eyes on it is, or whatever. And they says, well, you know, Bob, if you could just hang on a while, yeah, then we'll probably have a lot more to talk about. I said, okay. You know, because I know Josh and that, and he would do the interview, but, you know, he was in that, you know, real tentative.
Right.
And I believe the reason for this delay, as people perceive it as a delay, was the fact that he was working together with the attorney generals at the other states to find out what angles that they're going after so as not to do with this copycat, you know, deal where it's, you know, where the defense can basically just fight one side of the front.
Mm-hmm.
Like Georgia is looking at something else.
Right.
Nevada is looking at something else. And Michigan is looking at, you know, that I think is the reason why it's taken, you know, a little time, because they're kind of like letting things fall into place and get set. And probably the Wisconsin one is going to have a whole different angle towards it because of the connection with the U.S. senator. That may be the reason why they're, you know, really being a little extra cautious before they start putting it to paper.
Yeah, two of the attorneys, Kenneth Cheeseborough, which is a perfect Wisconsin name to be charged in Wisconsin.
Hey, June is dairy month.
Kenneth Cheeseborough and Jim Troupas, as well as Trump political operative Michael Roman, each face one count of felony forgery for their roles in the scheme. But the thing that kind of is similar to what we've heard a lot since Trump was convicted is just yesterday, Ron Johnson came out all guns blazing. I mean, this is an outrage. This is, you know, you're politicizing, blah, 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 blah. The same things where...
That's for his supporters.
I know it, but at the same time, it is just...
He's not on record. He's not under oath.
But the chasm right now just gets bigger and bigger because, equal justice under law. It's something that I talk about a lot, that it just feels as though Ron Johnson and many of those others are just saying, well, basically, we don't believe it. And it has a lot to do, again, with, and you've been involved in the political arena, where you have a lot of folks on the right that talk about how government doesn't work. And now it's the justice system doesn't work. It just continues to be this self-fulfilling prophecy from these guys, where we are now, and again, something I mention a lot, we are coming up in 2 years and 1 month from yesterday, the 250th birthday of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. You know, 1776, July the 4th, and it should be a great celebration. And I worry that the 250th anniversary will be closing the door on the barn door after all the cows got out.
Well, again, when you look on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and
Elon's playground.
I get a really kick out of when I'm looking on Twitter. It has for the ones that I'm following is one thing, and then for you. And what is the for you? Every conservative, right wing blogger, you know, shows up there for you. It's listed, and I just laugh at that. You know, from Senator John Kennedy down in Louisiana, from Mike Johnson from the Congress, from Tom Tiffany, from Ron Johnson, from Glenn Grothman. Well, they don't have Grothman on there too much because he has trouble spelling. But anyway, it's one of these situations where that for you,
right.
And I go through that and I just look at that, and of course I go, well, you know why they want to give that to me? Because they want me to respond to it, because it's more clicks and makes them look really impressive. So I've just gotten to the point of
engagement.
Ignoring them, because they're only talking to the believers and or the gullibles, as I like to call them. And, preach to the choir.
Well, and that comes to another aspect of all this that is... In this era, and again, you can talk about sports, and you can talk about, you know, news, and it's all of the money aspect. Everything is about money these days. And again, I understand that. I think it's always been in a certain, but it just feels as though, and again, maybe I'm overly concerned about it. This idea that the media is more profitable with Donald Trump in the news. And it's, and instead of really, you know, informing people, it's all about, as you say, about the clicks, about the engagement, about all of this aspect. And frankly, we know that people are affected by media, whether it's advertising. I mean, there would not be advertising unless it didn't work at a certain level. And then you have, again, the people that are just out there pounding and pounding and pounding. And it just feels like it's an avalanche that, for many people that have other things in their lives, what they do get skews the picture. And I don't know what the right roadway to changing that is, or whether or not there is a proper off-ramp to get us back on the right track.
Again, you're going to have more attention to websites, clicks, and all that when you have a convicted felon running for the highest office in the land to get that power, to recoup it, and then a person who's doing the job and making sure things, you know, work on time. That's not exciting.
I know, and that's the reasoning. I understand that, but at the same time, it's like you, and this is different than InfoWars when you talk about CNN or CBS or ABC, and it's like, and all of them seem to have the same goals now, and that's the scary aspect. Well, you know, corporate media.
Well,
bottom line.
Yeah, corporate media is something that I've dealt with enough in my life.
I almost see the cringe after just mentioning the word. But Bob, look with us for the first hour. We're going to talk a little bit about the weather. It looks like the rain has started to move through the area. We'll find out for sure. Brittany will let us know. Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, coming up next. The time is almost 8:19. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Love it. I love doing that.
Welcome back. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, plus on Facebook.com and X.com on the Bull Falls Radio page, our video stream there as well. And if you are on our video stream, you right now you see our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, joining us. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. You guys staying dry this morning?
Please. It was a drencher. I mean, I was in bed for a couple of hours. I woke up and I could just hear it pounding. And then when I got out there, it was still pounding. It looks like it's ended, at least here at our studios. Yeah. But boy, it was a drencher overnight, wasn't it? And early this morning.
Oh, it sure was. You know, even yesterday afternoon, that was one of the stronger storms that the entire state actually got, and we got them first. I was joking around. I was like, dibs on the first storms. Of course, it goes to where the meteorologist lives. But yeah, those afternoon ones, Bevent had a 65-mile-per-hour
Brittany,
wind
Brittany,
gust.
I got to interrupt you.
Tell me how to say it.
It is Bevent.
Bevent.
Bevent. I heard Bevent. You on Pat Show, and I thought, oh, I got to remember. because
both of the people would be really upset if you...
Back in the day, my dad played softball. There were tournaments in Bevent. So as a kid, I would go to Bevent. And we called it Bevent in the Fast Lane.
I like it. Bevent.
But no, you're right. But no. That is one that was so easy to, because you're right. It's a very small community. But Bevent was in the headlines yesterday.
Yeah.
But you know what? It matters. It matters so much. There was a small town when I first started working in TV. It was up in Minnesota, and it was spelled SKYBO. I would say Skybo, because here I am, the meteorologist. I see sky and all that kind of. I'm sorry, it was bike. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was Skibo.
Yeah,
I'm like,
Skibo.
Wait, what? But it was a small town and it mattered, and I appreciate when people tell me so. Now I know. Bevent, 65-mile-per-hour wind gust. Woo!
Bevent, not Bevent.
Say it again. Oh my gosh, I cannot get
it. You say tomato and I say tomato.
Bevent. 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 Bevent.
Bevent. I swear.
No, it's all good.
Events.
Next time you're going to get it perfect, Phil. But now that all this, you know, yesterday we were talking about the humidity, then all the storms and all the rain early this morning. Now it looks like it's going to be very moderate, to say the least, with temperatures, isn't it?
It sure is. Today's the last decent day where our highs are in those mid to upper 70s. But as soon as those winds shift out of the northwest, and they are by this afternoon and evening, so that means tomorrow highs are going to be in the low to mid 60s. Yuck. And we're still going to have some scattered showers and storms still filtering around here. So those fire back up again by later this afternoon and into the evening. And a few of those could linger tomorrow morning as well. So starting off cloudy, dreary, cooler, breezy. I mean, these winds are going to be gusting today up to 30 miles per hour, and they're not going to quit until at least Friday. They start to ease up just a little bit. So breezy next few days, cooler even into the weekend. We don't touch 70 again after today until next week. So upper 60s. All weekend long. And we've gotten drenched. We got 3/4 of an inch of rain on Monday. We picked up, you know, early last night, I think it was over 1/4 of an inch. And then today, Weston, this morning, just got a 1/2 inch of rainfall. And there's 3/4 of an inch up into Tomahawk area, Texas, too. So drencher, soaking rain. But I heard people cutting the grass yesterday.
They tried to squeeze it in, right?
They did.
Well, my neighbor's building an ark, so I should tell you what kind of weather we've got here. So,
all right, Brittany, what are the details here for the middle part of the week as we head closer to the weekend?
Absolutely. So some cloudy skies still hanging on right now. Over the next hour or two, we're actually going to see some sunshine. It will be a decent afternoon, breezy, highs in those mid to upper 70s. Then, of course, those popcorn showers and a stray storm will pop up this afternoon and evening. If we're in one of the strong ones in those paths, expect 40-mile-per-hour wind gusts or some small hail. Otherwise, a few scattered showers still linger tomorrow. The winds whip and pull in that cooler air. Highs tomorrow in the low 60s. Then we'll climb into those mid to upper 60s as we go into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And what I'm calling this weekend is a mix of sun and showers. It's all going to be there.
That means you're going to be right. It's either be sunny or going to be showers.
That's true. But cooler for sure.
But no, then you can use the term popcorn showers again.
Yeah. Makes me feel a little better about it.
They pop up all over the place. But Brittany, yeah,
they do.
Man, we need a break from this rain, just generally.
I know.
Oh, you said, I mean, I live in West. You said Weston. That I guarantee you got at least that much. I mean, the way it was coming down, listening outside my window this morning, I tell you, a lot of rain. But hey, that's why we got umbrellas.
I agree. You know, I had that debate last night. Do I keep my windows open, or do I want to keep them closed to keep the humidity out? And I'll say what. I'm glad the humidity is leaving us today.
Absolutely. Well, Brittany, thanks again for the information. Have a great Wednesday, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
Thanks. You as well.
Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, joins us every weekday at 8:20 right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Right now in downtown Wausau at our studios here at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Overcast skies, temperature of 58 degrees. The winds are out of the west at 14 miles per hour. The dew point is 57. That humidity still up there at 97%. The barometer at 29.53 inches and a visibility of 3 miles. And it's just weird. Again, last year, I mean, even, you know, think back to the winter, we went through so many months where it was always above normal. We haven't been to above normal the last couple of months, which is actually a good thing, because I actually like the cooler weather.
And it's also evening out the yearly average. So we're not, baking the whole
time.
Well, we got some hot weather coming, believe me.
I think by the end of the summer, you're exactly right, and these temperatures continue to rise. Hey, we haven't even touched yet on the big verdict from last week. But also, I think the trickle-down effect, and I hate using that term because that goes back to trickle-down economics, but the trickle-down effect on where we stand, again, as I think as a country where Donald Trump continues to claim victimhood. And one thing that that jumps out again is that we now have the Speaker of the House investigating people that prosecute because he doesn't like who they're prosecuting. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Joe Pavelski later in the show as well, because he's a guy I know that you have seen and I have seen, and a great and a guy that's coming back to Wisconsin after he's retiring. So we're going to talk about him coming up a little bit later on as well. We're going to take a short time out, have a information update, get the latest in news, weather, and sports, and then come back and have more with Bob Look, another half hour with Bob here on this Wednesday morning. And again, of course, don't forget, you're going to have a chance in the next hour to win with the Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win contest. So make sure you have the Civic Media app downloaded and your chance to win some really terrific prizes. And then, of course, in the second hour, Sean Wright from the Grand Theater will be with us. The exciting news of the announcement of a very interesting and a terrific schedule for the 2024-2025 Grand Theater season. And Christine Daniels from the Good News Project will be with us as well in the next hour. The time is 8:29. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Sometimes I don't know what is right. Today I saw a carcass, my little dog under its wheel. It did Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, 834 here on this Wednesday. It's getting brighter and brighter, actually, even a little bit of blue skies as I look out the window, a little bit of construction finally going on across the way as well. It's funny.
You could swallow up my car.
In a few weeks, you're going to be sitting in for me, and I think you're going to have some mornings where you're going to be wondering, why is the building shaking?
Oh, right.
When they're doing the work out
there. I can pretend I'm working at LA Radio.
There you go. It's like
San Andreas Fault. Here we go.
It's like you're wondering, oh, this building is really shaking here. Is it Earth? No, they're just doing construction. So it's good to see that happening.
Yeah.
But it's also good to see Bob look across the way here as he does every other Wednesday, joins us here on Bow Falls Radio. I guess I'm going to throw it out there. Yeah, last Thursday was, Donald Trump. I used a baseball term. It's like he was 0 for 34. He didn't get any hits in his 34 at bats. A little bit of a slump. I want to kind of throw it out there in terms of how it's been reported, how it's been responded to. What's been your overall take? Because, again, it is just – it's something that – It was a sad day for this country that we're at this point. But again, a lot of people, it's getting a lot of juice out of it. What's your overall take on
it? It's a sad day when anyone is convicted of a crime, and not just a small crime, but a felony crime. It's when you're a convicted felon, that's you're in the major leagues of using another sports axiom there. You're in the major leagues of legal distress, and the thing is I happened to be just getting home, and I turned on the tele, and it was a little after 4 o'clock, and all of a sudden I remember the anchor. I won't say which one, but the anchor who was talking. Of course, as we await a verdict, and all of a sudden they looked in, and I guess like the producer in the headphones, told we have a verdict. And the look on the face of the, with the camera, that camera right there staring was talking, well, we'll have more discussion about the possibilities of a verdict. And all of a sudden her eyes just got wide. We have a verdict. And it's like
my script doesn't have any use now. Yeah, planned out.
We'll be back. And they took a commercial break right away because they know that once it starts, you're not going to be hitting any commercials.
Right.
And off they went. But you just saw the look in the person's eyes, like, I didn't expect that. Well, guess what? You never know what you can expect. The longer deliberations go, usually is beneficial to the defendant.
The thing that jumps out again is how Mike Johnson has stepped into it a number of times. Number one, he said he talked to Supreme Court justices. I don't know if that's true or not, but he said he did, and that they're concerned. Then he says he's going to start investigations against the prosecutor and others. My first thought is, are you going to investigate the jurors? Because they're the ones that actually convicted the man. Mike Johnson and the others are just...
I would say to him, go ahead.
Right.
Prove it. Go ahead. Waste our time, because there's a lot of people out there watching. Geez, you know, you were talking about the border. And what's happened is that basically President Biden has executive ordered what was supposed to be passed, no problem, but because the convicted felon told the congressional people to put the brakes in it, they didn't want to see any favoritism going towards President Biden getting this done in his tenure. The point being is, people are not that away from that. They can see that thing. And you can tell that there's a lot of second guessing coming around right now, because when you say convicted felon prior to the person's name, that means something. Mm-hmm. It means something to every law-abiding person, no matter what your political beliefs or followings is. I mean, there have been people on the other side, on the Democratic side, that have been convicted crime, people, and it's like, I don't sit there and go, well, it's all rigged. Well, guess what? If it would be rigged, it would be the most impossible rigging being done. You'd have to have millions of people involved in doing that. And it just doesn't happen that way in the world.
And I think you kind of hit it.
Sorry to interrupt, guys. We have a caller who wants to talk to you.
Right. Hey.
Go ahead, caller.
What's the first name? What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Bill from Wausau.
Bill, what's on your mind?
Do you have a list of the 34 convictions that Trump was convicted for? Do you have that list of those 34 things?
Do you?
I don't have it in front of me. No, I do not. I can pull them up. Let me see if I can pull them up. But what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people I talked to, pro or con, don't understand what the convictions were of. You know, there's 34 different things, and nobody seems to know exactly what they were.
Well, I think there's a point to that. It had to do with a lot to do with business expenses, basically putting hush money payments to to Stormy Daniels and basically covering the tracks within the business. That's a lot of those. And also in terms of fraud, in terms of I'm pulling it up here.
Well,
basically, falsifying business records was the top of it, and then it went from there.
And not only falsifying the records, but using that falsification to basically hide funding that helped in a political process of the election of 2016.
And basically, I'll give you a couple here, just because I do have the list, and we don't have time to go through 34 of these. But count number one. Invoice from Michael Cohen marked as a record of the Donald J. Trump Revocable Trust. Basically, Michael Cohen paying off Stormy Daniels with money from Donald Trump and then basically hiding it within this Revocable Trust. Entry in the ledger of the Donald J. Trump bearing the voucher number for this payment. And again, it goes down the line. A lot of covering up of where this money was, where it was going to. And
how
also,
I got there.
Right, exactly.
And why
right.
I got there.
But basically, it's in a sense, it's actually ironic. It's a lot to do with business.
Yeah. It's a white-collar crime.
It's a white-collar crime.
Which is something that's more prevalent in our U.S. courts than you can imagine.
Right. And basically, again, it was just to hide the fact from the American people before the election.
All right. Well, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Bill, we appreciate your call. Really do.
All right.
Very good. 715-382-9297. And that's the thing as well, that...
It isn't easy.
He was trying to pull the wool over the eyes of what, 400 million Americans, whatever the number is these days, you know, basically to try to get elected.
Well, it was to hide the fact of this affair. Well, we use better language than that, but that's, we have FCC laws to prevent that. But
a tryst. Well, a tryst.
Wasn't those little crackers that you had in the box there? Oh, no, those are Triscuits.
And real fast, the thing about this as well is the other cases that have been slow walked, frankly, are much more concerning.
Yeah,
I mean, this is about a sexual affair and covering it up with money through your organizations. The documents case and the presidential immunity and all of this is,
and the January 6th.
I mean, these are foundational pieces within the United States system of
government. The prosecutorial level of law was more saying that this particular would have been the hardest one to prove.
Yes.
Well, now think about that. The 34 counts said that would have been the hardest one to prove. To, first of all, get all 34 of them as guilty charges, which there was a lot of the experts thought that, well, maybe about half of them or a little over half of them or part of it, and there'll be some nitpicking here and there. There was no nitpicking. It was like it was proven. Yeah. And I think a lot of things that did not happen weighed in the hearts and minds of those 12 jurors. One being the fact that you had the defendant saying, I want to testify. I want it, but there's a gag order. The gag order has nothing to do with you putting your right hand on the Bible, putting your left hand on the Bible and raising your right hand and taking an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And when you say I do, that immediately means that every word out of your mouth, if it is not the truth, is liable to be, you know, a perjury call. Now, and I loved when listening to his post. Well, they could ask you questions that, you know, you may, you know, stumble on an answer, and it's like, it seems to me that the people that have trouble with keeping the answer straight are the ones that can't keep it straight because they're telling lies most of the time.
And also, he knew that he could come out and be in front of microphones and lie all he wants and not be charged for it.
Right. But if you put the old hand up and take the oath,
and you can be proved that you're telling lies, then you're in even more trouble.
That's the problem. In fact, that's what the reason why his main financial guy is sitting in Rikers right now. Was because he lied.
Exactly, and that can trip you up very, very quickly. And also, you mentioned the 12 folks that sat on that jury. And I think that really annoys me when all of these megas keep talking about the rigged system and the rigged trial. These are 12 people that the defense and the prosecution all whittled down to get 12 jurors that could be fair adjudicators of this trial. Mm-hmm. You either believe in our system or you don't. Bottom line.
And am I saying that juries throughout the years have got everything absolutely correct? But the point being is, if there is as basis for an appeal, if there is a basis for an appeal, any good defense lawyer will then will follow through on it.
Yep.
You don't see, because the sentencing is going to be the decision as far as, and they'll probably announce an appeal immediately after July 11th when the sentence is handed out. But the point being is, the way it sits right now, and when you have 34, not 33 and 1, not 32 and 2, but all 34 were guilty. You know, as a lawyer, you'd have to look to your client and go, I don't think that we should try to take homage and say, yeah, okay, I'm sorry I did this, and try to lessen your penalty that's going to be handed out.
Any chance that the Republican Party says no to him in Milwaukee next month? Because
there's always a chance.
But I mean, it feels as though the first step would be for like we saw in 1970, 50 years ago, almost 50 years ago to the day, August of 1974 is when Nixon resigned. If leaders of this party would come out and show a backbone, then it could start that process. But as long as they stand right behind Trump, I don't think anything changes.
Well, most of the ones that are showing some are announcing their their retirement or not running for re-election or just plain resigned.
Right.
I mean, there's guys and gals leaving the Congress pretty quick, whereas the majority in the Congress is getting down to like maybe just one vote right now because people realizing this ship is sinking.
Right, and we have 50 seconds here. Mm-hmm. I talk about 1974, and I wish people would have a better knowledge of history. That election, the November election of 74, it was a bloodbath for Republicans. Yeah. Nowadays, it doesn't feel like, again, you have a felon leading the way. Even if Republicans lose, is there a possibility of a bloodbath?
Always can be.
I mean, this country could use that cleansing.
It depends on how the people are feeling and that particular time they're filling out that ballot.
We're going to talk more positively about a guy that's really, I think, worthy of it coming up in just over a minute.
Me?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
Got to stick around and find out. It could be. We'll find out in a minute. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app with Bob Look for one more segment, and then, of course, hour number two, the Scani Summer Text to Win contest will be listening in. Get that phone away, Bob. Get that phone away.
I can't play?
No, you cannot, because you're so kind to
this
be...
This game is rigged.
Oh, boy. No, boy. Oh,
I'm
boy.
Sorry.
Oh, boy. You threw me completely
I'm
off
sorry.
There. The way you said it, too, it's like, holy cow. Oh, man. The Scani Summer Text to Win contest coming up. But I wanted to talk about, because, I mean, you're Mr. Wisconsin hockey. You've been around it. Both the Badgers, of course, for many years. High school level as well for many years. And we got word, not official. He hasn't made the official, but he basically said it. Joe Pavelski, Plover-born, caused a heartbreak for me back a couple of decades ago when he scored a couple of goals at the state tournament beating Wausau West. But a guy that just has been not only what he's accomplished on the ice, you know, starting back when he was a kid and going through 18 years in the National Hockey League and everything in between. But he's also just been a great representative of our state, of the game of hockey, and everything else. And I know that you've got some connection as well.
Well, you know, he was playing high school hockey when I was doing games. And also, he ended up, you know, going to University of Wisconsin, as did a couple of other fine players from the Wisconsin Valley Conference. And... one of the pictures that I really value in my collection, as soon as I will find it, which I, for some reason, I never, you know, put these things in a, like a nice organized deal. I just kind of have them hodgepodge you there. But is that the camera?
Yes,
right
there? It is.
I don't know if this will show it, but this is a picture that was taken in 2006. Now, I don't know how, if I'm pointed in the right direction, but on the picture you have, from left to right, from the left, you have Andy Brandt, who's from Wausau West High School. Of course, you know him well, and he was an assistant coach with the Badger men's hockey, not last season, but the season before. He's now the coach and general manager for the Madison Capitals junior team. And then right next to them is Joe Pavelski, of course, from Stevens Point High School. And a third, there's some old guy that stuck his face in there. And then on the far other side there, right side, is Joe Piscula, who played for Antigo High School. And these are guys that were part of that 2006 team that won the national championship. And that what I always was more proud of was that was a team that had the most Wisconsin kids on the roster. There was no Badger team prior or after that's had more Wisconsin-bred, born players on that team, and they won the national championship in 06. And it was a great – Adam Burrish was the captain. He's now been elected to the University of Wisconsin Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. and he's going to be being joined in there. And Adam was quite – and plus that season, we also had that game at Lambeau Field
with Ohio State.
I mean, it was a great year. And even before the year started, we realized that regionals for the hockey thing, for the tournament, is going to be in Green Bay. And the finals were at the Bradley Center, Milwaukee. So if we played our cards right, you're never going to have to leave the state. And did just that.
And Pavelski over the years has come back and done hockey camps in Central Wisconsin. I saw is it in the
All store, these guys.
In the, yeah, but he, mm-hmm. talking about Joe again, you know, he's and him and his wife are he in the story from ESPN.com, it said he's told folks he's returning to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about a guy that has just been, you know, red and white right to the core. I mean, there's no and what he's done as a NHL player, because obviously, you know, you said it, we saw him as a high school player, and he led Stevens Point to their only state championship in 2002. Mm-hmm. Then, as you said, goes to Wisconsin, does the same thing, and then wins a national championship, and then 18 years in the National Hockey League.
Well, not just that, but there's one game that always stands out in my mind, and that was for the gold medal of the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And Joe was part of that that Olympic team, and it was an overtime period, and he was the tail end of a really busy shift, and Joe got behind the defense, and he was, you know, with basically no air in his lungs, trying to outbeat these two Canadian defensemen, got a shot off, but barely you know had enough oomph to get there. And then they turn right around Canada, and boom, 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 boom. And they scored right after that. And I felt so bad. I know exactly what he was saying to himself. If I only could have had another second, I would have found a corner and won a gold medal for the U.S. in the Olympics. That's the kind of competitor he is. Okay. And on a golf course, he's dangerous. He'll kick your butt, I'll tell you.
And again, I mean, 18 years at the top. And he could keep going. He's still playing, you know, the Dallas Stars would love to have him back for another run.
He could be playing with, you know, with somebody because of his smartness on the ice.
Yes.
He knows where to go.
But he says, no, going off. I mean, hey, it's wonderful when you're able to do that, where they're not saying, maybe it's time for you to take a.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing that athletes have to argue with themselves all the time. And whatever Joe decides, you know, if he decides that's it, or if he keeps staying in straight shape, because, well, I'll tell you what, all the Wisconsin guys who played with the Badgers in the past, they're all still skating in Madison all the time. Even Brian Elliott, who hasn't played all year, the goaltender, he's still out there, you know, waiting for maybe somebody saying, yeah.
I think Joe is. I think he sounds like a man very contented with his legacy, and again, it's just wonderful to see somebody from our area that not only succeeded within the confines of the athletic venue, but has also been a guy that's been so well respected as well. And just hearing from you and your close, be able to see him up close and personal
and picking up the mantle, Cole Caulfield, who's also Stevens Point High School. Player and he even mentions that Joe Pavelski was his hero when he was a kid.
A lot of people's hero. So again, we saw that yesterday, that Joe Pavelski hanging him up after 18
years.
We'll
see you at Century World there, Joe.
Bob, hey, thanks again for coming in. We'll catch you in 2 weeks, and then at the week after that, you'll sit in for the whole week, so people can look forward to that as well.
Oh my gosh. You hear those buttons clicking.
It's gonna be a much needed boost. I tell you, this time frame needs a much needed boost.
He needs a vacation.
Oh please,
he needs a vacation.
But Bob, thanks again. Hey, and the sun is out.
Boy,
you brought the sunshine.
I got to take the Evan route off the boat now and try to get home.
Big hour coming up, including our summer Scotty, our Scotty summer text to win contest. That's all coming up here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 to 12:30.